We are going to be in Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Luke chapter 2. You'll also have this blue outline, and if you don't have one, you can go to back and grab one real quick. It'll help you kind of follow along. As we talk about overshadowed in an everyday way, the sermon series for this Advent is about how the Holy Spirit comforts us in places that most people, most holiday pushes don't talk about, the places that are hard. Sometimes we have a kind of perspective that the holiday season and Christmas, Advent, New Year's, Thanksgiving, all of those are supposed to be, oh yeah, you know, all the battles are won and all the life is figured out. And now for a little while, we're going to celebrate it and then we'll kind of start again. But the truth is, most of us are in the middle of all the things we're working out. And Christmas isn't like when we stop and all of a sudden everything's perfect. It's like, no, we're still working out life during the Advent season. And if you look at the story of Mary and Joseph, so were they. They were absolutely working out life. Life wasn't all figured out for them. And so Christmas isn't for those people who have won everything and figured out everything. Actually, Christmas is for all the people who are walking through the tough things of life, because the Christmas story is about two people who are walking through tough things. And the birth of Christ brought a peace to their life that didn't make all the circumstances go away, but it caused the Holy Spirit to overshadow those things in a great way. So that's what we've been looking at. I think if we've got those slides, the first slide there, I'm going to go over with you. We talked about 2 weeks ago how the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and Joseph, and the news of Jesus being born to her actually created a lot of hardships in her life. So that when we look at the Christmas story, we shouldn't look at it through rose-colored glasses that, oh yeah, the joy of Christmas is for all the people who have everything worked out in their life. No, that's not who Mary and Joseph were. Number one, and it's I'm filling out the first blanks in your outline as well. Mary and Joseph were in great need with few resources, so they were definitely had the challenge of finances during the Advent season. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Number two, they were in uncertain and threatening circumstances, so there was a lot of fear in their life as they were going through the most wonderful time of the year. Number three, they were out of place and they were unsupported, so they were dealing with loneliness as they walk through these silent nights and as these places that bring us so many people joy. And number four, they had suffered loss by walking in faith. The scandal of Mary being pregnant with child out of wedlock caused them to suffer a lot of loss in their life. And so maybe you come to church, or maybe you walk with a bunch of people who are planning Christmas parties and all that. And for you, it's like, well, am I the only one who actually has some hard things going on? I mean, I see all these smiling faces and all these holiday specials, and everything's supposed to be perfect, but my life's not perfect. And actually, I'm walking through a lot of difficult things. Is there any message in Advent for me, or is Advent for all the people who have a perfect silent night and all of the things they're experiencing are good? Man, the Advent series is all about, the message of Advent is God is with you in all those things. And in Luke chapter 1 that we looked at 2 weeks ago, the angel made a promise to Mary. It's there in your outline. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High, and this is a key word, you might want to circle it, will overshadow you. The angel does not say finances, fear, loneliness, and loss are going away. The angel says there is something greater that will overshadow those things in your life. And I want to encourage you to have a sense of expectancy that God wants to do the same thing in your life. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at how does the Holy Spirit overshadow a lack of finances during Advent. Today, we're going to do how can the Holy Spirit overshadow the pain of loss during the Advent season. And to do that, we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 39. It's at the front of your outline. We'll notice the same Holy Spirit work that we saw 2 weeks ago. Starting at verse 23. Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, the newborn baby, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two pigeons. We talked about how that was a sure sign of their lack of finances 2 weeks ago. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Verse 33. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. May the Lord add his blessing and his power to the word today. When we're looking at the issue of loss, we need to recognize that the true story of Mary and Joseph was that the birth of Christ did not eliminate the experience of temporary loss. It was part of the Christmas story. You'll see that first point, one of the types of loss they suffered was what you and I might call divorce today. You see, when Mary was known to be pregnant with child, there were lots of family members that divorced knowing her. In the Hebrew culture, it was literally, "You're dead to me." And so as the very Christmas story unfolds, here is Mary, who has lost family, who has lost people, who said they're going to be faithful to her and committed to be her friend. And all of a sudden, with the announcement of this pregnancy, they divorce her, have nothing to do with her. And this is the experience of Mary, who is coming to bring the newborn child to the world. Number two, Mary suffers the loss that is due to distance. You know, here she is in Bethlehem, and all of her family is in Nazareth. When we hear that there's no room for the inn, we tend to think of that in a certain light. But did you realize what that really meant was there wasn't a family or friend in all of Bethlehem that they knew of to go be with? Because the only time you go into a hotel, a motel, is when family's not available. We've all kind of had that experience when we're traveling and family members put us up. Not Mary and Joseph. They were alone. They had a loss of relationship during this Christmas season. And then number three, they certainly had the experience of death, the loss of life. There is a grief of losing loved ones. And I don't know if you get it, but in this passage of Scripture, there are at least three frames of reference for death. There is Simeon, who's about to face it, and he says, "I found the Christ, I've seen him, I'm ready to go." There is Simeon's word to Mary, who says, "Mary, you have the salvation of all mankind in your hand, but it's not going to eliminate a sword piercing your soul. The newborn Christ is not going to eliminate you having to deal with the pain of death." And then there is Anna, whose whole context of ministry is being a widow. It says for only 7 years she was married, and the rest of her life she lived separated from the one she loved, and yet each day she would go and praise the Lord and give thanks and believe God to use her, and she was active in being used by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think that the gift of Jesus somehow means that there isn't going to have to be a dealing with loss, a dealing with knowing that there are loved ones that were with us last year that aren't with us this year. Those that we are used to be close and are not. We think of that issue of distance and we think of the miles, but sometimes the loss of distance we're feeling has nothing to do with miles. Sometimes there are people in our own home who we're distant from, that we long to be close, but we're not. And everything about the holidays is supposed to be that we're supposed to be doing things with them. And yet there's a strain and a tension in our own households because that person we love, we are very distant from at this time. These are not the exceptions of the Christmas story. This is the Christmas story. This is Advent. And there is a gift of the Holy Spirit that promises to be faithful. The Holy Spirit will do things that are beyond words. And the beautiful thing is the Holy Spirit will do things that words totally describe. Because the Holy Spirit, as he's obviously flickering here among us with the electricity, does things, and we talked about them 2 weeks ago, we're going to talk about now, next slide. The Holy Spirit always gives us a promise to remember. And you'll notice in verse 38, Simeon references it when he says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." Simeon is saying, look, I'm about to go the way of the Lord. Mary, you're going to have to deal with loss. Anna is living in loss. And he says, you know what? But what I see salvation in our midst. Even in the middle of the pain of loss, God is here. There's a promise. We'll unpack that in a little bit. Number two, the Holy Spirit always gives us a power to pray for. And right after Simeon declares to Mary that you will experience the pain of loss, it follows immediately with Anna, who will give thanks. Verse 38, she gave thanks to the God. There's a power to pray for. We'll unpack that. Number three, there's always people to be with. It's a beautiful part of what the Holy Spirit does in the midst of the things we struggle with. Simeon is clearly led by the Spirit and moved by the Spirit and filled by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's answer to overshadow the loss are the relationships that the Holy Spirit brings. Anna, as a prophetess, is certainly led by the Spirit. And then number four, and I love that it's almost the same exact formula as the Luke 1 passage we looked at 2 weeks ago. There's always a practical step to take. Even as the impossible work of God is taking shape in your life, there's practical things to do. And it says in verse 39, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town in Nazareth. It's almost the same exact formula as Mary with Elizabeth coming back. There's something practical to do even while Mary is waiting for the miraculous to happen in her life. These are all the same things for us. You know, if you've experienced the loss of a loved one and this season, there's all sorts of difficulties. There's the, how do I share my grief when everybody else is looking with such joy and focusing on all the celebrations? It's hard to know how to talk about our loved ones when a lot of times the rule seems to be an unwritten rule that, well, if we don't mention the person's name, then we won't feel the pain. There's the decisions of how do I comfort others even as I need comfort in this season. If you've experienced the power of divorce, the sense of losing a loved one, there's all sorts of difficulties with this season. How do I face it alone? How do I... We'll see if the lights stay on. We'll see here. There's the issue of how do I connect with family members? Maybe I'm not ready for another relationship, but at the same time, I don't want to be alone. What do I do with that? With the whole issue of distance, people in our own home? How do we connect when we're having a tough time connecting? What do we do with the holidays? They're supposed to be about coming together when we're not together. There's some things that, there's some practical steps for that that we're going to talk about today. I heard a pastor once say that in a fallen world, sometimes the world falls on you. And there are times that this come in our Advent season when we can feel like that, and yet we have the same work of the Holy Spirit that Mary and Joseph so faithfully have. So let's look at them. Number one, a promise to remember. Jesus gives us a promise that we need to remember when we're experiencing the pain of loss. And it's found in John 16:33. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You know, in this one verse, Jesus gives us permission to grieve, but to grieve with hope. And sometimes we feel like we don't have permission to grieve while in the holiday season. But you need to know that Jesus himself said, look, there are times when this world's going to bring you trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, when Paul's talking about missing loved ones, he says, we do not grieve as people without a hope, but we have a hope in the resurrection. There's a permission to grieve. There's a permission to say, I need to remember. And some of those tears are right. It was about 2 weeks ago, I was walking through the hallways. I was saying hi to people. I said to a lady, I said, how are you doing? And she looked at me all like, oh, you shouldn't have asked that question. And it wasn't that she didn't want to tell. She felt bad telling me that she wasn't doing all right. And a matter of fact, she kind of like apologized that when I asked her how she was doing, she was like, well, I'm not well. I'm so sorry, but it's okay. And she literally, a few days later, emailed me and apologized and said, you know, Pastor Sean, I don't want it to be awkward. You know, I don't want you to have to come up to me. And when you ask me how I'm doing, I'm going to say something negative. And I called her back. I said, what are you talking about? When I ask you how you're doing, I want to know how you're doing. And if you're not doing well, that's okay. You know what? I want to hear that too. Because it's okay to be in places where life isn't all figured out. Because we have a promise, and we have a promise to remember that Jesus himself said, look, there are going to be some times when life doesn't go well. But take heart, I've overcome the world. I've been preparing for this message for a while because I know this place of grief is a sensitive place for us. And sometimes it's hard to know how to handle it. If you haven't heard of the resource Grief Share, I encourage you to write that down if you've lost a loved one. They've got a lot of great resources about how to handle the loss of a loved one during the holidays. And I've read through it extensively. One of the stories I heard about a friend who lost the Lord is this. Lost a loved one is this. She says, bittersweet is the word I would use to describe going through the holidays without my loved one by my side. My husband's empty place and missing smile are truly hard to bear. Tears come so frequently and people don't always understand how much it hurts. My dad died in 1998 and all of my grandfathers have passed also. I don't think I've really cried over them in years. I've just had wistful memories and many sadnesses. But the last few days, I've totally broken down missing them. Grief is such a strange companion. But the sweetness is knowing that they are all home together with our Savior. And I do, in capital letters, have the blessed hope of seeing them again and sharing all good times that have happened since they left us. In it, the guy who tells the story says, look, if you don't grieve, you don't heal. And let yourself grieve with hope. And be part of a church family that lets you grieve as well. Number two, we not only have that promise to remember, but we also have a power to pray for. And it's found in the words of 1 Thessalonians 5. It's modeled by Anna in the story in Luke 2. It's the power of thanksgiving. I don't know if you've ever thought about praying for that power, but when you're in the middle of the pain of loss, you need to pray that God will give you the power of thanksgiving. I put a few pictures of things I'm thankful for Project Hope. We sponsor all those kids in Ethiopia. And you should, if you're sponsoring a kid, you actually got a letter from them for this Christmas. I mean, how cool is that? And to think that we can be serving people with so little, even as we manage our own lives, that's a lot to be thankful for. As the announcement video heard, that's a picture of one of our baptism, water baptisms. It was an amazing Wednesday night, celebrating our kids and seeing them worship the Lord. We've got so much to be thankful for. You know, this past Friday, I took some of my kids to the Grand Illumination in Richmond. Anybody ever do the Grand Illumination in Richmond? Okay. And, you know, it's when they turn on all the Christmas lights. Super cool. And we go in there, and there's thousands of people there. And we're there, and it was nice weather. And when they get to the countdown, they turn off all the lights. So even the ones that were just like, you know, sidewalk stuff, I mean, they turn off. It's 10, 9, 8. So they're going through it, and everybody's counting, you know, a little New Year's feel. And, you know, 3, 2, and it's pitch black because there are no lights. 1, nothing comes on. And we're like, and everybody's like, yeah. And it's like another 5 seconds, and all of a sudden the lights come on. I'm like, yeah, you know, and everybody's praying, you know, woo, yeah. And it was so weird to have the delay. Because everybody assumed at their countdown, all the lights would go on. But all of a sudden, when they finished their countdown and the lights didn't go on, it was like this, maybe the lights aren't going on. It was like this fear. And you know what? Sometimes that's us in the grieving process. Each of us kind of have our own countdown to when all the lights should go back on and I should feel all better. And everything's just right again. And there are a lot of times when we get to the end of our countdown and the lights don't go on. And just like that Friday night, a lot of us get afraid that maybe the lights will never go on. But let me tell you what, more certain than the guy who figured out the switch he was supposed to hit and didn't hit to turn it all on are the promises of God that say when you grieve with hope. Because the lights will come on and there is an answer and it's as certain as Jesus himself. And so you know what? I haven't met too many people whose countdown was the exact time when the lights came on. A matter of fact, I can't remember anybody who said, oh, this is when I'll feel better, and they felt better. You know, the grieving process is a deep thing that touches us in ways that most of us don't even understand as we go through it. And so I want to encourage you, if you've been kind of holding your own countdown to when you're going to feel better and when when all the lights are going to go on and there's no more darkness in life, and all of a sudden the countdown's not working and you finish your countdown and there still aren't any lights, don't fear. The lights are coming on. It's just not by your countdown. It's by His promises. And while you're waiting for the lights to come on, pray for the power of thanksgiving. Because here's what the power of thanksgiving does. And 1 Thessalonians says, it's the will of God in any circumstance, even your grieving, that means, to be thankful. Even when you've lost. When you've lost from distance and you're far apart from a spouse or a family member, in a family member in your life, and things aren't going, you know what the power of thankfulness does? It helps you see the good in that person when you're so stuck on all the bad. It helps you see. When you've lost a loved one and they've gone on to be with the Lord, the power of thankfulness helps you not shut off their gift from the Advent process. Because I tell you what, it hurts to cry the tears, but part of those tears are celebrating a love that you've been given. And that's a blessing. When you've lost the issue of family, if you've walked through a divorce, thankfulness helps you see what's still in your life, not just what you've lost in your life. Pray for the power of thankfulness. because Jesus knows how to take all that loss and through the Holy Spirit overshadow you with the gift. Number three, when we're experiencing the pain of loss, he gives us a promise to remember. Use it. Put it on your fridge. Write it on your hand. Keep it in your notes. Remember that promise. Remember the power to pray for him. Pray for it all the time. And number three, let God bring people into your life. Colossians 3:17 is a great description of a person who is used by the Holy Spirit to comfort someone. You know, a lot of times, we don't know how to comfort someone who's grieving. Most of us make the mistake of doing a lot of talking, because we want to help, but we really don't know how to. So we kind of go into, well, the quantity of my words will somehow help the quality. And usually it doesn't work that way. What we need to do is remember, let the word of Christ dwell in me. I don't need to give them a bunch of my words. Sometimes I just need to hear that they're not doing okay and say, you know what, I'm praying for you and I'm with you. And you know what, I love you right where you are. You don't need to fix anything, explain anything. Just love them. And the scripture says that a Christian is supposed to have the word of God in them. Instead of giving our niceties, we remind them of the word in the right moment. Spiritual songs, the Holy Spirit is active in us. So we even listen, led by the Holy Spirit. And then there's that power of gratitude again. We keep thankful for who they are. I met a woman at the end of this service. She just came to me in tears. She said, Pastor Sean, that's the first time in a church service I've ever heard a pastor talk about it's okay to grieve. And I just want to say thank you for that. And she was just crying. I said, you know what? I'm just thankful that I get to share with you while you're in it, because it's a gift and a privilege to know you in the place, because you're a gift. And that I don't need you to get better. I don't need you to not be messy. I don't need you to be all happy. What I need you is to be you. And let us be a body of Christ together. Let us be a family. And that's what we want to be. Some pictures and some people I think do a great job. There's our worship choir and a lot of people who love people well. On the other side is, that I posted on the Facebook last night, we had our Royal Ranger Commander dinner. All these great guys who mentor young boys. To the left is Senior Commander Matthew Mason. And in the middle is Red Smith, who was the senior commander for over 15 years. And Matthew decided, total surprise, he's decided to honor Red by creating a new award called the Royal Ranger Red Smith Service Award to honor people who serve boys' ministry well. And he gave it to Ray Thompson, and Ray was out of town, so Jennifer received it. I just thought, what a neat thing. Here is Matthew Mason, a new young leader, who probably be like, oh, you know, am I doing it as well as Red? And is everything as good as when he did it? And instead, he chose thankfulness, and he took a moment to say, Red, thank you for what you're doing. And just what a beautiful expression that was. I was just so impressed by his maturity to do that. Now, I think, again, in the passage in Luke 2, the Holy Spirit prepares us to help people who are grieving, who are suffering loss. So as I was going through the grief share, and there's also a resource called Divorce Care. They're from the same ministry. They're both great resources for you if those are the kind of loss you're experiencing. But here is the list I ran into. What you wish your comforters knew about grief. Here's what people who are grieving say. I wish people who are trying to comfort me, I wish they understood this. And I thought that's probably a pretty practical thing that would be good for all of us to hear it again. Because most of us know someone who's grieving loss during the holidays. So here is their compiled advice. Number one, please talk about my deceased loved one. Sometimes we're not sure we can mention someone, or if we mention them, people tear up. So we think, wow, that was a bad choice. I shouldn't have mentioned their name. No, that's not true at all. Maybe they're just grateful that there's a way you're bringing them and their presence to that moment. And again, I mentioned it before. Sometimes we have this kind of unwritten rule that, well, if we don't say their name, then we won't feel the pain. And really, a person who's grieving is feeling the pain. and allowing their name to be celebrated and their memories to be incorporated is really a gift to that person. Number two, be a quiet listener and let me share my memories. Again, most of us, when people are suffering or they're sad, we tend to think we need to talk. And if you've been with someone who's grieving, they really appreciate someone who just listened. Number three, ignoring my grief doesn't make it go away. So we don't need to always distract them from it. Yeah, they don't need to be stuck in it, but we also don't need to constantly avoid it. We can let it be part of our moment. Number four, you don't have to cheer me up. I need to feel the loss. Number five, don't make comments about next year being better. I'm focused on the here and now. I think that's a great piece of advice we tend to erroneously give. And, you know, it's okay right now to love and to miss and for that person to be so important in our lives. Number six, understand I can't do everything I used to do, but still invite me to holiday events anyway. And again, sometimes we're not sure, but make the invitation. And number seven, understand the grief can go on for a number of years. The grief process is always much longer than you will think it should be as a person from the outside. Again, you'll have a countdown in your own life and others will. And that countdown, you may finish the countdown and no lights may go on yet. And it's just okay. All of these are part of an Advent season that loves someone. And as the Holy Spirit's using you, you may be that Simeon or Anna to encourage someone in the midst of their time. So there are practical steps to take. And I want to take a moment, like I did 2 weeks ago, to say a few practical things about walking through that season. Before I do, let me say one thing about each kind of loss. First of all, if you're suffering from the loss of distance in your own home, you're not getting along with a spouse, or there's a difficult parent-child relationship, or something like that, here's what I want to say to you as a practical step. A lot of times we become so fixated on fixing the relationship that we miss the fact that what we need most of all is more than fixing the relationship. We need to spend a little bit more time with Jesus. Because the reason the relationship is stuck is because we've run out of grace. We've run out of grace and encouragement and refreshment. And some of us, maybe we've got an A-plus personality or we got a strong sense of justice in our heart. So we're like, no, we need to fix this right now. And we keep hitting the same stuck spot and it's just discouraging us. Now, I'm not saying you don't need to deal with it, but I'm saying if you put more energy into trying to make a stuck relationship work than you do trying to be refreshed and have a new experience of grace with Jesus, you're going to be a really sad person. Because what you need more than that relationship to be fixed, and the reason the relationship is a fruit of something you need more grace. So I want to encourage you, if you're at a place where you've got the loss of distance in the relationship that should be close to you, don't put so much into fixing the relationship that you start ignoring loving Jesus and being filled by him. You know, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of being stuck in traffic with your family or being stuck at the airport with your family. You know, you could have a perfectly good relationship, but how's your relationship look when you're stuck in traffic with that person? Well, did you? You know, you don't go around saying, by the way, I just really appreciate you today. Thanks for being here with me. You look lovely. Thank you for reminding me that we're running late. I really appreciate that. That's so thoughtful of you. That's not how we act when we're stuck, right? We're like, I know. Why don't you do that? I don't know. You're the one who said take this road anyway. All that goes on. You know, that relationship might not be too bad, but what's the big issue? They're stuck. And the relationship itself isn't as bad as the stuck is bad. And what they need to do is instead of trying to get unstuck, go over and get poured into by Jesus a little bit. Get unstuck yourself in your relationship with the Lord. Get some new grace. Get some new words. Get some new encouragement. then go back to that relationship. So that's my encouragement for those who are suffering loss of distance. For those who are suffering loss from divorce, I know that when we talk about divorce in the church, there's always a little bit of fear like we're condoning it. Like, what if someone in the room is on the verge of divorce and now Pastor Sean's talking about it? So it's like, oh, okay, it'll be good. And, you know, we need to recognize that if you are in that place of distance, then, you know, we don't apply the issues of divorce. We're saying, no, you're in a place that's reconcilable. You know, in Christ, you are an ambassador of reconciliation, and you need to keep living there and let grace go. But we also recognize that people in marriage relationships have two people in the relationship, and there are biblical provisions for divorce. And so we need to understand that it's not uncommon for someone to come into the holiday seasons close to the Lord who is experiencing the loss of divorce. And so what I want to encourage you with today is that the same Mary and Joseph that changed the world because they continue to lean into the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of Christ, that's you. God's got plans for you to change the world still. And your countdown may not go the way God's planning it. You need to be patient with yourself and be slow in the process of healing. I see too many people over divorce rush into things for the sake of making things look better or feel better. Take it slow. But when we get to the five things we're going to say about loss in general, you'll see the pattern there. But I want to encourage you that God is with you in a great way. Now, number three, for those who the particular loss is death. Like I said, I tried to do a lot of study for this and make sure I was sensitive in sharing. And here's the common piece of advice. Embrace your lost loved one during the holiday. Don't holiday around them. You know what? Whether it is put their ornament up or their stocking up, whether it is making sure you do one of the traditions you always did so at that point you can talk about the memories with them. Each person has a different level of grace. Some things you're not going to be able to do that you did before. But whatever expression works for you, embrace your loved one during the Advent season, because they are God's gift to you. They're the eternal story of what God is doing in your life. You know, as I was reading through all the articles, there was like, you know, make a special ornament for them, and when you hang them, take a moment and say thanks for them. Light a candle or have a rose in a vase just for them. Somewhere plant a tree or do a special event. I mean, there are all sorts of ways. I don't know what your way is. But I just want to encourage you, when you're dealing with the loss of a loved one, embrace them during the holiday and let that be part of the peace and the good news that comes into your heart. So 2 weeks ago, I did the hand gifts. So I want to summarize the advice, some practical steps the Holy Spirit can lead you in when you're dealing with loss in all of these areas. And here they are. We re-Christmas. Okay, there are five things to do. Number one is rest. We need to rest. Don't try to accomplish everything. Don't try to prove you're okay by doing as much as you've always done. Acknowledge that this Advent season will be different. That there will be a grief and a pain that will not overshadow Christ, but will be part of the process. And the Holy Spirit will overshadow that. But acknowledge that it's going to be a little different this Advent season and rest in that. Let be you in that and let people love you there. Number two, receive. You know, receive invitations with thankfulness. You may not go to all of them, but still be thankful. Say thank you. Maybe you'll go to a few. Maybe you'll just show up for a few minutes. That's fine. You don't want to be so stuck, and it's always a delicate balance that the Holy Spirit will lead you in, but you want to go to a few things. You want to still receive invitations. You want to accept that there's going to be some loss, and you want to set some boundaries so that you'll rest well in the process, but receive and be grateful for them. Number three, reach. Reach out to close friends. Or, I'll tell you one of the common stories in grief share and divorce care was all about reaching out to other people who are experiencing the same loss you are. To allow the Lord to show you someone else who might need the same comfort, and you can reach out to them during the Advent season. And as the Holy Spirit uses you, the Holy Spirit also ministers to you. So that's a good encouragement. Number four, refocus. Take time to be thankful. One of the articles in Grief Share was that it's still okay to celebrate. Don't feel guilty about celebrating what is good, even as you also acknowledge the loss in your life. And that's good advice, that we should refocus. We should be thankful for what we do have and take time to celebrate those things. I'll tell you another really interesting piece of advice I read over and over again was watch the movies you watch. Because all of the holiday movies tend to be about I found my love on Christmas or everything works out fine on Christmas. And you know what they said 1,000 times in all the articles was just don't purposely slant, hammer yourself with hard feelings. Just be selective. It's not that you can't do some of them, but be thoughtful. Refocus about this particular holiday season. It also said that part of refocusing is do the simple things like eat right, get some exercise, get some sunshine, take some time. And that might not seem all that grandiose of advice, but in the middle of a season that can be difficult and emotionally draining, you want to take care of yourself in a way that is like 5 loaves and 2 fish that the Holy Spirit can use to bring a blessing to you in the middle of the process. And then finally, resist. Resist the urge to numb the pain or to isolate. You know what? You can rest. It doesn't mean you have to be involved in everything, but make sure you got enough circulation that you're not stuck. And so what that means is have a few close friends in your life that know that you're calling them if you're stuck and that you give permission to ask, hey, are you stuck? Because we all need that person. And sometimes the enemy, who is cruel and hateful and does not care that you're hurting, tends to work overtime on you in those holiday seasons, and he can try to get you into destructive patterns. So just make sure that there's a healthy work of resisting and that you've set up that structure for your holidays. There's nothing wrong in the holidays in acknowledging that there's grief to work through, that there's a pain of loss. And actually, like Mary, you can actually become someone who can say, the birth of Christ changed my world and overshadowed what the enemy made for evil, what the world says was broken. God lifted me up, and I love him all the more. That's why we come to communion. God's been gracious enough to let the electricity stay the whole time so I could show you all my PowerPoint. And now it can go off because we can do communion in the dark if we need to. But we're going to take a moment to remember that the very Jesus we celebrate on Christmas lived to do this right here. To take the pain and to bring healing. And I'm going to invite Pastor Brandon to lead us in a worship song. And I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward. And as they distribute communion, I'm going to invite you to stand now if you would. Hold the communion until we all have a chance to partake together. But I'm going to invite you during this time to place those places of loss before the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to overshadow you.
Whatever thy thought Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul,
it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and has shed His own blood for my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul.
Consider the cross.
My sin, oh, the joy of His glorious heart. My sin not in part, but the whole. He's nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
We hold in our hands that it can be well with our soul. We hold in our hands the promise of Jesus to not only forgive us, but to be with us. The reminder that one day we will drink again with Him and with the loved ones in Christ who have gone before. We hold the wellness of our souls, the overshadowing of death by the resurrection. For those of you who are suffering loss, loved ones, distance, difficult times, your church family is with you. And we want you to know that you're grieving, and that process, it's welcomed in our church family, because it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to work out the truth and grace of Jesus Christ in the places that mean the most to us. And you need to know, in our church family, there's no countdown. You don't have to be done with it at a certain time. And you need to know that here at Cornerstone, in our church family, when we ask you how you're doing, it's okay to tell us. Because we want to love you there. You're in a family that loves you. And you're in a process that's good. Let God keep working that process. This Wednesday night from 7 to 8 o'clock, we're going to have a little time. We're going to celebrate that part of Advent. And if you've been suffering loss, you want to remember a loved one, or you just want to recognize God's help in a tough place, we're going to have a really informal, real low-key service that I'm going to lead, going to invite the elders to. It's not going to be a lot of people. It's not going to be real formal. But I just, as your pastor, I want you to know that that process is welcome during the Advent season. And we're just going to have a little time for you, and there'll probably be a few dozen of us maybe. But if you want to come and remember a loved one, if you want to come and just pour out your heart in a place that's been hard, Wednesday from 7 to 8, going to be right here in this room. And I want you to know that your church family, that's part of loving you and part of who we are, is recognizing that moment. So you're welcome to come. Check the Facebook page or just call up the office on Tuesday or Wednesday. Make sure everything's in place. But we'll pass on a word to you there. So I want you to hold this bread, this place that reminds us that the Son of God was willing to be broken to walk where we're broken as well. Lord, we hold the reminder, and we're so thankful that you walk with us. You chose to come and walk in our hardships, and you have not stopped walking in those places. We take now and we eat the body of Christ broken for us. Receive now with grateful hearts. And God, we hold this cup. The reminder of forgiveness, the reminder that one day we will be with loved ones again in heaven. We'll catch up on the memories and make new ones. We're thankful for the resurrection. Lord, we're thankful that the places that are hard in our life right now, Lord, we can be certain one day the lights are going to come on. Because it's as sure as this blood that we celebrate that you shed. Would you take a moment before you drink it? Recognize the great gift you have in your hand today, the symbol of it. Take now and drink the blood that was poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. We invite you to put your cup down. And if you would now, I'm going to ask you to take hands across the aisle. Keep moving around if you need to. It's all good. Would you take a moment and would you pray for the people around you that are walking through loss right now and ask that the amazing grace of Jesus would fill their life and that they would know the love of their church family here? Would you take a moment and pray blessings over the people near you? Lord, we ask that you would reach out with your grace and touch us in the places that hurt. We ask that you would reach out and connect us in those places of darkness. We pray for the power of thankfulness to be in our lives. We thank you. We remember that you are with us and we can take heart. You have overcome the loss. And Lord, as we work out that grace in our lives, Lord, send people around us to bless us. Let us be the people that can bless others and give us practical steps to take. Lord, we're honored to walk with those who, Lord, continue the healing process. We're thankful for the gift of Jesus that came to make it certain. And we do all these things, praying the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May the words of my mouth, and the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. As you go today, give some hugs. Prayer ministers, if you'll come forward, feel free to come up for prayer. We love you, and travel safely back.